Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, all of our hair is going to look like we're in the band A Flock of Seagulls from back in the day. Oh my God, it is so... I don't even have to finish that sentence. You know what's going on. Dude, Mother Nature is like a bad ex. Won't go away, ruins my day multiple times a week, and has f***ed up my car.
The show would be way less fun if their parents gave them enough attention as children.
Jordan Silver and Friends.
Codependency is our middle name.
Just had to throw my fidget spinner almost across the room. It's all in the way. You know, keeping it messy here right now. So, this Saturday, Jukebox the Ghost and the Mowgli is going to be in town, and I've got a pair of tickets right now. If you want them, be caller 5-576-7965. Hey, The Buzz, what's your name?
Oh my God, my name is Sarah. Am I caller number 5?
You are. Holy crap, you're so excited.
Oh my God, because I call every morning, dude.
Thank you so much.
This is my first time winning. I don't think you can, like, even understand how excited I am.
I'm just very proud of you. Do you really like the Mowglis and Jukebox the Ghost?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I've loved the Mowglis forever.
Have you seen them yet?
I haven't. I haven't been able to go to a show.
Well, I feel like I'm about to make your dreams come true.
Oh my God, you just made my morning.
Oh, hell yeah. I think your excitement just made my morning. Let's see, what have we done already this morning? We've done Neighborhood, Catfish and the Bottlemen, Foster the People. We've done Beastie Boys, Mowgli's, Jukebox the Ghost. Yep, it's time for a lady. And Lauren Mayberry, lead singer of Churches, just did the keynote at South by Southwest yesterday. This is the song that, I don't know if you've been able to get this out of your head, but I haven't. 4,500 times, I think I've played this in a row. It's Marshmello featuring Churches here with me.
Can I tell you something?
Hello, The Buzz. What's up?
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I work at 4 o'clock in the morning. I work at a bakery. Oh. So I wear gloves all the time. Mm-hmm. And every single morning, I can't call when you give away tickets because I have gloves on. It makes me so sad.
Oh, that was seriously my absolute last pair of Mowgli tickets. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God. I love you so much. I listen to you every day. I'm Courtney, by the way. We talked on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yes. Hello, Courtney. How are you?
I'm okay. Doing really well.
What are you baking this morning?
Bread and donuts and bagels and...
Oh, my God.
Bunch of stuff.
Dream. That sounds like my carb dream.
It's intense. It's hard to not eat everything.
Well, thank you so much for calling me on your break or getting your phone all yeasty.
Thank you so much. I love you so much. I'm so excited.
Holy, there's a lot of news.
And now the news.
Happy Pi Day. Pi. P-I. 3.14, blah, 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 blah. It's March 14th. Yes, you got it. What is pi? Well, duh, it's the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. Mm-hmm. You can celebrate with an actual pie, just so you know. Pizza is also known as a pie. Mm-hmm. How many times yesterday did you scream at your phone? That Facebook and Instagram outage was the longest in the entire 15 years that Facebook, the company that now owns Instagram, has happened. And when they fixed it, it went down again for a little bit, but it's up now, apparently. And if you're flying today, check on your flight before you go to the airport. All Boeing 737 MAXs have been grounded. Southwest and American Airlines have the most planes, so if you're flying on those, check that out. And it's really beautiful when stuff comes together for a good cause. Even though their song came out in 1997, if you check the Billboard Dance and Electronic charts, in honor of the passing of the lead singer last week, The Prodigy's Firestarter is back on the charts at lucky number 13. All because of the fans starting a group and saying, let's do this one more time. So let's do this one more time.
Keys, check.
Phone, check.
Wallet, check.
Jordan Silver and Friends,
check.
I've got a treat for you. I've got like a candy for you, basically. The Aces were in town last night. Oh, man. So good. The whole show. How does a band sound better live than their album? I don't even know. They were so, like, musically so tight. It was insane. The crowd was amazing. The energy was just epic. So I talked to them yesterday.
I remember being in this room and there was like barbecue and there was like people in costumes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they bring us barbecue. What's the really famous barbecue?
Joe's.
Yeah, yep. That was good as hell. Yeah,
did you guys think that it was the best barbecue you've ever had?
It was really good.
I thought, honestly, it was for sure better than like anywhere.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, that's what Kansas City says, yeah. So it's good to know for people that have been all over the place.
I barbecue a lot.
Do people think you're from L.A.?
A lot.
Is it because of being an all-female band?
I guess, yeah. Uh-huh. I think it's just because also, like, we spend a lot of time in L.A. because our label's there, and we also have written with a lot of producers in Los Angeles, so...
Initially, people thought we were put together and auditioned.
Oh,
they didn't believe
great.
That we were, like, organically
because we're so perfect.
So crazy.
Because yeah. we're so perfect.
But then you show them a picture from 10 years ago, and you're like, no, we've known each other for that long.
We grew up together and been together for, like, 12
years. Was no label person with a bright idea behind any of it.
Cool. Are you from L.A.?
I lived there for 4.5 years before this. I'm from Maine.
Wow.
So somewhere
I've heard Maine is beautiful.
You guys haven't toured up there yet?
No.
My girlfriend's obsessed with Maine. She's from Boston.
Okay.
She's
like,
oh my gosh, we need to go to Maine. We need to go like do an Airbnb and vacation in Maine. So
it's very clean, but there's also a lot of meth.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
So now that you guys are looking for that, but just you're gonna be like
diverse.
Yeah.
Now we know what Maine is like.
You're like, this is so beautiful and clean. That man doesn't have any teeth. Yeah. And he's scratching blood. Like
that's like Utah. It's like the yin and the yang. The beautiful like little utopias, but then there's like the biggest heroin problem in the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So okay, I would like to talk about the elephant in the room, obviously, the fact that you are an all-female band.
Mm-hmm.
Is being called a girl band worse than being called an all-female band? Is there one that you prefer?
I think it is. I feel like I feel like it's a little different.
I feel
really?
I'm just tired of people using a gender pronoun as it's supposed to be insulting.
Or it has like all these connotations to it.
Yeah. I won't let that be. So I'm like, I'm not going to take offense to that because I'm not going to be offended that you called me a female. I feel really proud that we're female. That's what's frustrating to me. I'm not frustrated when people call us that. I'm frustrated when they call us that with an intention to put us in a box.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And that is what I'm like, no, knock it off.
Or like, call it like almost like it's a genre of music.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't usually like all girl bands. And
like,
it's like, what does that mean?
Right.
We are just a band. Like essentially we're just a band like anyone else. You know what I mean?
So, right.
I think it's interesting like the stereotypes that I feel like there's more stereotypes tied to like the idea of a girl band versus like an all female band. I don't know. Yeah. For me, that's
really okay. Yeah. Like a girl band, like you said, is manufactured.
People
more think girl bands. Typically, it's like the Spice Girls.
Like kind of like a singing group.
Like all female band is more along the lines of the Runaways. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know what I mean? It's usually a more like rock oriented kind of title. But I honestly think that all of it is just kind of bullshit.
Like,
I honestly don't care. I feel like it just gets to the point where it's like people are going to just think what they think and they're going to call you things. And I'm just living my life. We kill it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Like if one of you were related to someone super famous, they would just be like always asking you about that.
Yeah.
How does image, I'm going to ask one more question this. But does image matter more with an all-female band? Is there a double standard that you've noticed in the 10 years that you've been playing music?
I mean, I think we're more in a time where we're getting away from that.
Yeah.
And I think that if that does matter, that person's going to get called out who's trying, you know, get what I mean?
Cool. Yep.
So we're a little more protected that way being in this generation. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think for sure, I think that there are like stereotypes put on women and. Yeah.
I think people are definitely like refreshed by the way we present ourselves because we're not over the top and we're not always like perfectly glammed out with makeup and our hair done all the time. And I think we get a lot of compliments.
As you
about
can
that,
see
actually.
Right now, we look
no,
trash.
You guys look fabulous.
We specifically asked right this now, wasn't filmed today.
We had a very early morning and we said no to filming. Yeah. So
that's totally fine.
No, but it's cool. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for female musicians now that you wish you would have known 10 years ago when you started?
Be persistent. You know, like that's something that's so important for us. Ask for the stages and ask for the spaces and just do it. Just play bass if you want to play bass.
Also, I feel like a big thing as a woman in the industry that we still find challenging at this point is like, it's that time old thing that like every, like Madonna's talked about, everyone talks about it. Like, don't be afraid to like ask for what you want and have like people think you're a bitch or something. Sorry, I probably can't say that on your
You can totally say that. I'll beep this out. I already said like three
that's
times.
So true.
Because
that
that's the thing
true.
I was like, don't be afraid that people aren't going to like you or going to call you a bitch. Because you're the boss and you're demanding what you want. Mm-hmm. Obviously not saying like be an asshole. Like, there's a good way to do things. I think that's a big thing, is being afraid of the men around you who have power. Don't be afraid to stand up to them. Yeah. Don't be afraid of them thinking you're a bitch.
Do not be afraid to be coined a diva. As you get further into this industry, if you don't demand what you want and, like, take care of yourself, you will get run over. Mm-hmm. And almost in, like, a self-care way. Like, you just won't be able to do your best and be you and, like, feel good about what you're doing if you don't set boundaries mm-hmm. very early. Yeah. And
we've definitely been referred to as, like, the wolves before yeah. because, like, we're so good at setting our boundaries yeah. with our everyone on our team. Like, from the beginning, they just know they can't f*** around.
Right, yeah.
Because we're just like, no.
Did you learn that the hard way at some point without, like, a long story?
Steer us yeah. real heavy.
I think mm-hmm. with our age too, you know, we've actually been really lucky to work with really awesome people, especially men, really awesome men mm-hmm. on our crews and different things. That definitely has come with its challenges of our age, and I think a little bit being women, well, that I think, like, we get taken advantage of sometimes yeah. and people don't totally respect our boundaries, or like, oh, like, the girls, like, my little sisters. And it's like, no, but you, like, do work for us.
How
so.
Much unnecessary stress is that? You just want to yeah. play me? Yeah. Like, come on, just let me play my
I feel like it's interesting, too, because times where that has been taken advantage of is because we're very, like, compassionate and kind, like, mm-hmm. loving people. And I mm-hmm. think as a woman, like, you naturally are more that way. And it's kind of interesting trying to find that balance between, like, demanding what you want and, like, being the boss, and then also letting your, like, kind, compassionate yeah. side come through as mm-hmm. a woman. So it's like, always figuring out that balance has been, like, kind of a challenge, but I think it's really awesome that we have that too.
Yeah. Our age doesn't help though too. I think that's a big factor.
And you guys are 21, 23. Crystal and Elisa, your mom, as I'm going back with this one, your mom was the original manager?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was the manager.
Was she like a Kris Jenner?
Oh my God.
She loves She loves Kris Jenner.
Like, I don't know why I'm like, mom, I don't know if you should idolize Kris. I mean, she's a boss bitch, I guess, but like, I was like, mom, I don't know if you should idolize Kris Jenner, but she loved it. She loved being like the momager and like getting it done, but we definitely like made the right move on that transition because we just believe that family shouldn't work for you.
Right. And that was my next question. When did you tell mom you can't do this anymore?
We're like, mom,
and how? And how?
We love you. Well, we're so close with our mom.
Okay.
So like it was very easy to be like, mom, we love you, but we actually, we do need like a real manager who like has experience in the music industry.
Did she shed a little Kris Jenner tear?
She did. Oh. I think she did. She's still a little scorned.
She'll still pull the original manager card at times. She's all the time. I'm the original manager.
That happens at, like once a time we're with her.
Elisa, how the hell do you play the drums and harmonize? I don't understand this because do you guys know the band La Luz?
No.
Okay, they're an all-girl band in LA, and my friend is the drummer and harmonizes. But what the hell happened? I mean,
yeah,
like you do it and you do it really well. You
a lot of times I don't. A lot of times like, they'll turn around and I've shoved my mic.
Okay.
Like, what the hell? You got to see.
No, yeah. We have coached her and trained her. Like, she'll get the evil eye from me turning around.
Don't turn around.
And from Kenna. Kenna will turn around and be like, dude.
Well, it's because I'm just, I can't by myself and sound so wimpy.
I know. It's like, it is challenging to drum and sing, honestly. I used to be more nervous that I wouldn't sound good when I was younger because I'm moving so much. But mm-hmm. now it's more just, honestly, like the mic stand is just in my way.
So there's
like,
no way to annoying. Fix that. Wait, what if you got one of those like Garth Brooks things?
I know. If I just get a headset.
Like, did you hear that, fans?
Should
you hear
go hard like Phil Collins?
Please.
That'd be amazing.
I was somehow found myself watching like really old One Direction videos yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, we were a little too old for that, I feel like, when it came out. Or maybe we weren't, but we just weren't really
we were in the heat of it. We just
we
didn't
weren't
like
super
it.
Into like boy groups.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the Jonas Brothers. Yeah, so we weren't super into One Direction, but I was watching them the other day, like love them, and I was like checking it out. And Niall has all the time, because he's playing guitar all the time. He has one of those mics. So.
Oh my gosh.
It's me.
We got you, fam.
It's me, yeah.
Like maybe jeweled or something, or like a crazy color or something.
Like a Hannah Montana jeweled
iced out
situation.
Please do. Then there's no excuse. You're just like, I really got to do this now.
Yeah.
God damn it. I shouldn't have told him I could sing. I should have been related to one of them. You guys have been all over the place since the beginning of February. Touring and everything has been selling out, and that's so amazing.
Thank you.
Do you remember cities, or is it kind of like a, and not in any way that you are disrespectful about it, but just like in, out when it comes to places?
We remember them. When we come back to cities, we're like, oh, remember that time? Sometimes takes a little more of a memory jog just because it's a very weird thing to be in a city for less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel like I can always think of a city and like, I just have like a vibe from my experience there. Like mm-hmm. I always remember mm-hmm. I'm like, that place is kind of painted that way for me, whether that was super positive or like kind of weird. Yeah. So I feel like most places are positive because we're usually playing shows, but then some of them are kind of awkward. But yeah, just depends.
Wait, what was that word?
I just said awkward, like awkward.
Okay.
I feel like this being our headlining tour, though, it's so unforgettable.
Yeah.
Like every city has been so amazing because it's our first time headlining in the United States. So mm-hmm. I think this is a tour that we definitely won't ever forget.
Yeah, this tour has been super memorable. I feel like this is the first tour, too, where like we've hit, how many tours have we gone? Is this our sixth tour?
This is the sixth.
Yeah, where it feels like there's too many to remember, like every single time we've been to a city. I'll just wake up, panic, and not know what city I'm in.
Yeah.
I feel like this tour I've been doing that more.
Wait, have you done that on stage? Isn't that like the number one like faux pas on stage?
We have it written.
I don't understand how people do that. Like, I don't understand how you get on stage and you're just like, say, a fully different city than you.
Is it on top of the set list?
Yeah. Once you've been up for a minute, you know what I mean?
You know
where you
are.
You at least know the name.
Right.
Yeah. Even if you're unsure of your surroundings, you know the name of the city.
Yeah. I think it's harder or like scarier to remember, honestly, like a radio station name.
Yeah, sure.
It's like you'll play radio events and then it's like, because you don't want to like hurt anyone's feelings or act like it's not important to you.
I mean, it's all four letters that are weird together.
A different four numbers. Yeah. Again.
I have been in full panic when having to remember a radio station.
You know what's so funny is the radio host is always like that with the names of everybody in the band too. So everybody, like, even if it doesn't look like we're all just like, hi, nice to meet you.
I've kind of gotten it out of the way pretty early to be like, remind me of your name again. I'm like, I'm not gonna sit here and not know your name.
Right.
Like that's the worst. I gotta just be like, what's up? What's your name? If there's a discreet way that I can figure out your name, we'll take that route. But gotta ask sometimes.
Everyone should have name tags all the time. 24/7. It's like a reality show where their names, I don't care if it's been on for 20 something seasons, every time the Kardashians are up, it's like Kim.
Yeah. That is insane.
We know who that is. Everybody knows who that is. After this tour cycle, after you get, I don't even know how long of a break, probably not a very long one.
Probably not much.
Right, yeah. What's next for the band? What's next for the Aces?
More music.
Honestly, we might be diving straight into a creative phase where mm-hmm. we're going to be writing a lot more music. Mm-hmm. So
LP2.
We're taking a little break from touring for like a bit here.
Yeah.
What's a bit?
Never too long, but maybe like a few months.
Oh, good.
Maybe. You never know, though, because like, I feel like in this industry, it's like if when opportunities present themselves, you hop on board and you know, it's always last minute. It's always
That's true.
Do you guys want to do this? Like with the Five Sauce tour, it was like very last minute. They didn't choose their opener until I think like a few weeks before they went out.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I've learned, it's that you can have an idea of what's going to happen and something
you'll never
comes
know,
up.
Really.
Like it always changes.
But we are definitely going to carve out some time to dedicate to our creative process in the next little bit, because we feel like it's our album's coming up on a year, being a year old.
But also, we're just feeling so juiced. Me and Chris were just talking about this yesterday. I'm like, I just want to write a song like right now. Like, we're so ready.
Is there stuff sitting around in like the ether?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have some stuff done. But that's the thing is, like, as artists, we always talk about it. It's like, maybe our album might be almost a year old, but to us, it's like way older because we were with those songs way before they were released in public. So we've already been like writing and like, what's the next phase of the Aces? Like, I feel like as an artist, you're constantly like, what's next? What's next? What's next?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you want to be constantly expressing yourself, putting out your music and letting everyone hear it. So that's going to be a big part of this next little chapter.
I've been playing you guys all week.
You're the best.
Well, your music is the best. It's real easy when it's one of those situations where you're like, this song is amazing. Go check out this band.
Thank you. Nice.
We appreciate the support. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then next time when you have new music, please come back.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much. The Aces.
Thank you.
It's Jordan, Silver, and Friends in the morning on 96.5. The Buzz.
Holy, there's a lot of news.
And now the news.
Today is Pi Day 314. Instagram is finally back up. I mean, Facebook is too, but no one uses Facebook anymore. Am I right? Also, all Boeing 737 MAXs have been grounded in the U.S. Weezer sells out Madison Square Garden. This has been the wettest winter in 131 years in Kansas City. And in a few days, we may beat the record for the most days since it's reached 65 degrees in Kansas City history. And finally, in Independence, the Independence Police have added their first ever therapy dog to his ranks. You thought that you had the goodest boy. I mean, this pup will sniff out crime and listen to your marital problems. I wonder if he can prescribe things. Tonight. It is Jordan Silver and Friends on 96.5 The Buzz, and I am here with actually two friends. Jeremiah Watkins.
Hey.
Welcome. You've done, you're a comedian.
Yes.
Is that always like a weird intro? Like, hey, you're a comedian. Do they automatically think that you're supposed to just say something funny?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just like kind of waiting like, yes, I'm a comedian. And what else? Are you about to say something else?
You have very nice hair.
Oh, thank you.
And you worked here before.
I used to work. They didn't even tell you. Yeah. I used to work here 11 years ago.
What did you do here?
I used to screen calls. I was on-air talent. My radio name was Stedman here.
Wow. I'm writing that down. I'm going to Google later.
Yep. Look up Stedman, any of you diehard Buzz fans, if you remember back in the day.
Jeremiah Watkins, Stedman.
Yeah, I was Stedman because the way I got the job was I had a music video that was called A Love Ballad for Oprah. Oh, and yeah. The former host of the show, he loved it. And he's like, we're going to call you Stedman. And I was like, yeah, you are.
as long as I'm on the air, I don't care.
I was like, you can call me whatever you want, dude.
Right. I was able to pick my own, which is great.
That's nice.
And then we are here also joined by Dustin Kaufman.
Hello.
And hi. Stuff's still kind of secret. Yes, no.
No, I'm the Comedy Club of Kansas City at 103rd and State Line.
Yep.
We're doing that. We're doing it.
I'm so excited. That's why you're here. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first off, obviously you are from here.
Yeah.
Jeremiah. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school?
Yeah, I grew up in the Overland Park area, and I went to Blue Valley High School. So,
What were you like in high school?
What was I like? I was that guy who I was on a show called Tiger TV. I loved making short films and videos and sketches and making comedy videos and stuff like that. And I played sports. I was kind of friends with all the groups. Mm-hmm. I loved theater. I loved playing sports, but I also loved being the anchor on Tiger TV.
So, oh yeah. Yeah, wow. Wow. So you were here and doing the Kansas City comedy scene before you decided to move to LA?
I was taking classes at in high school, and then I got my 2-year degree at Johnson County Community College. Ooh, shout out. Yeah, what up? And I was taking improv classes and every performance kind of class there, and got my arts degree. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to head out to LA. That's all I need.
Do you feel like taking classes is a necessity? Do you feel like it's important? Or do you feel like for anybody that wants to do comedy, what do you feel about
that? I always recommend improv classes, even if people are going to just be stand-up comedians. I think it's a great way to just kind of become more confident and more comfortable and experiment, really. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, like, take an improv class. Like, what, you know, like, why not?
Yeah, it's like games.
Yeah, and it helps your public speaking, too. Like, there's a lot of pros. Yeah.
Yep.
I met my wife in an improv class, so I love it.
Oh, it's amazing. Do you remember your first show here in Kansas City? Because you're headlining for the first time, so I'd like to go all the way back to number one.
One of my first sets was just like probably a guest spot at the old Stanford & Sons Club.
Okay.
And yeah, had so much family come out for that guest spot.
Did you make jokes about them?
No, I wasn't confident enough at that time. Now I do. Okay. Now I definitely do.
Are they pissed?
No, we'll see.
okay.
Yeah, they'll be finding out some of the newer material about them this weekend. So
wow. Okay, are you staying with them this weekend?
I am. So that could be an awkward morning after. You know what I'm talking
always
about?
Is.
Hey, always sorry about is. That show last night.
So I saw that you've done many, many, many things. You were on Roast Battle, Kill Tony, and Crashing on HBO as just a couple of the things that you've done.
Yeah.
So what was your motivation to move out to Los Angeles? When did it happen in your career, and what was the reason?
Sure. Well, like I said, I played a bunch of sports and stuff in high school, and I think that coming from Kansas and it being such like a sports state, mm-hmm. you kind of hope like at one point, like, I'm going to go pro at one of these things.
Wait, what sport, by the way? I need to know.
Basketball.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
you're a very tall gentleman.
I'm a tall glass of water. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm.
That's
so,
married, ladies.
Ladies.
And gentlemen.
Back off. Mm-hmm. LaCroix now, all right? I'm very calm in the sea. Yeah, I think everybody wants to kind of like go to college maybe to play college ball or something like that. I grew up in the theater, though, so mm-hmm. I grew up performing. And it was one of those things where one of the things that helped push me over the top was I got cut from the basketball team in high school. And I was like, well, I've always wanted to perform, and I always want to be like an actor or a comedian. And that like really pushed me. Like, I'm like, this is going to be my thing. Like, mm-hmm. I like, you know, every once in a while something comes your way and you either make the most of it and you get, or you get really down on yourself. You're like, oh, I'm just going to give up. So stuff like that, like, pushes you and motivates you. And another thing that happened also was I was working here at the Buzz, mm-hmm. and the former host of the show back in the day, mm-hmm. she literally said, you will never work for me on air while I'm here. And she was here for a very long time.
Yes, she
was. And that was one of the best things that could have happened, because it pushed me out of Kansas City a little bit faster. I go, oh, I don't have a career here in Kansas City, mm-hmm. doing radio. I was like doing on-air stuff for like a year and a half here. And then she came in and she's like, you'll never work for me because you work for that other guy. And I go, okay, well, this is a great motivating factor to get my butt out to L.A., you know?
Wow, because Kansas City is this great area. Like, I moved here from L.A. I did kind of the reverse that you did. And there's so many good groups here. So there is the ability to grow and learn a new craft here, sure. while you're doing it. But there is also a certain point. You know, it is just as big as it is, it's also as small as it is. So as somebody that has lived out there, I would like to know what your expectations of Los Angeles was when you originally moved out there, and then what it's really like.
Whew.
I know, right? I know.
That's a fun question.
Right.
Well, you know, I moved out there at 20, so, and, you know, this summer I'll have been out there for 10 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
When I was there for four years, I don't remember how many months it was, but I was like, I was able to pay rent for X amount of months. That's how I just celebrated it. Because so for 10 years, you're able to pay rent successfully in Los Angeles for 10 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm super grateful that I've been doing comedy full time since 2012.
That's amazing.
And yeah, I was working at Starbucks and just hustling as much as I could, doing random gigs. But yeah, now I'm able to do it with just comedy, which is amazing. But when I moved out there, I definitely had that, you know, Kansas sparkle in my eye where I was like, this is going to happen really quick. You know what I mean? Which a lot of people do. Like, right. they move out there and it's a crushing city because it's a quick realization. You're like, oh, I'm in way over my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much that nobody told me anything about that I'm having to learn by failing out here.
Absolutely. Totally. When I moved out there, it was interesting because the terms for rent were starting at 3 months,
mm-hmm.
in apartments. And you're like, 3 months? Come on. What? And it's, once you've lived there for 5 minutes, you're like, yes, I know why. Now I'm only committed to you for 3 months.
Yeah.
But now I have to go home to my mommy.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of that where I've met so many cool people that do not last out there. It's so difficult where it's just hard to sustain,
mm-hmm.
out there and just keep on living to even be able to pursue your dream. Like, even if you're hustling with other jobs and stuff like that, it's still hard to just like stay in it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, you need to keep so many jobs just to be able to survive and then do your passion.
Yeah.
On top of it, find the energy to do your passion, get to your passion from point A to point B.
Yeah. And a lot of the catch 22 of a lot of like comedians / actors out there is, okay, you need to be doing stand up at night, you know, you mm-hmm. need to be you working on your craft, but during the day you need to be working.
Right.
But that's when all the auditions are.
Mm-hmm.
So that was for years. It's like, it's been a juggle, you know, it's like, okay, how do I get to these auditions, but still pay bills? And then also I still need to be like becoming better as a comedian at night. So there's not enough time in the day.
Never sleep.
Yeah.
Never sleep.
So I didn't. Those first 3 years, I was literally sleeping like 2-3 hours a night.
What was that thing? LA is just soul crushing. That's the way to do it. You have to just keep like believing in yourself. And maybe that's the answer to this. But what was that thing inside of you that kept you positive? Because that's it. I mean, you go out there and it depends on what you look like.
Yeah.
It's all the things that they teach you in school. It's the opposite of what they teach you in school that you should be proud of. You know, it's what you look like. It's who you know. It's who you're related to.
That's very true.
So what is it like to be a regular human being out there? And what was that thing that kept you going, honestly?
I never made a backup plan. I was like, okay. there's not like, I'm going to give this a try. I was like, that's impossible. That's already, you're going to fail. If you're like, okay, I'm going to give this 6 months. I never put a time limit on that. I think that's the biggest like fail that somebody can put on themselves. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to give this a go for not like what, like anybody that's a professional, anybody who's successful in their craft, who has, like, a rocket scientist is like going, like, yes, I just compared comedy to rocket science, guys. Yes. You know, they give that, I'm going to give it 3 months. I'm going to see how much I can learn. And no.
I can figure out the theory of relativity.
Let's give it a shot real quick.
You're so right. That's kind of like what SoundCloud rappers do. You know, they get their faces all tattooed up so they can't get other jobs. So they have to be SoundCloud rappers.
Right.
Do you dabble in the music?
I do actually. I have a music comedy duo called Reagan and Watkins, which my buddy Pat Reagan from the Eric Andre Show, he will be featuring for me this weekend in Kansas City. And then we're going to be closing out the shows with some Reagan and Watkins action. And we're about to release our debut music comedy album together.
Incredible. For anybody that's listening that wants to get into comedy in Kansas City, even the very beginning, what's some advice that you would give them and what's some steps that you would...
I would recommend taking an improv class if you can. There's some open mics in the city that you should just start doing. Like, that's one of those things where people try to delay it because it's something scary. But if it's a passion of yours, just get up and do it. Like, the worst that's going to happen is you're not going to do well. That's literally the worst. Like,
right.
It's not like this soul crushing thing that is going to haunt you forever. Like, you just have to do it and throw yourself in the deep end.
Yeah, it's very positive. People don't, because it's so scary to go up there with the microphone and, hi, here's my thoughts. I don't know what the crowd's been through. I don't know what offends them, but here I go.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But open mics, especially around here, very positive.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple just to watch.
People want you to they're happy that you're even getting up there. Right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Let's
give this person a shot.
Hell yeah, because I couldn't do that. That is basically what they're thinking. We also have in the studio Dustin Kaufman, who is the owner.
Owner of the Comedy Club. Yep.
Yes. Can you tell me a little bit more about when this is all opening up and everything?
Yeah, we are looking right the first week of April. We went through a little construction hell. It's okay. Just some archetype, but everything's moving forward. Everything's good. We're passing inspections and everything's going the direction it needs to go.
What's the social media or how can people research you?
We are across the board at thecomedyclubkc.com. Facebook, man, we could not be more grateful for the following that we have gotten on Facebook and the excitement and just the general, like, you know, I guess, passion that people have for, you know, we're probably at 5,000. We're right about 5,000 followers. And these are all, like, local.
Damn, before you open.
If we haven't even opened the doors yet, man. I'm telling, people are lit. And we are excited. Because it's been a long time. There's a lot of faces in the comedy world that Kansas City hasn't been getting. And just to have, like, a new, fresh face of comedy out south, people are as excited as we are.
Do you think in a political climate like this, people need comedy more than ever?
I hope so.
Okay. That's what you're banking on.
Otherwise, I should have opened a carpet store.
Hey, I like carpet too. Jeremiah, if you make a lesbian joke, I'm going to kill you.
No, I had to withhold.
So, Jeremiah Watkins, you are in town. This is going to be the first time that you headline in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit more about when the show is and...
Yeah, it is this Friday and Saturday at the Buffalo Room. It's in Westport, and the shows are at 7:30 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Tickets on the website?
Yeah, you can get tickets online at thecomedyclubkc.com. They will be available at the door, although there is limited seats. It's a nice little intimate 100-seat showroom there in the back of the flea market, and we already, you know... We booked Jeremiah obviously for the club. You know, he's somebody that I knew from my time in LA and from seeing him on stage, you know, and we talk about the credits he has at the beginning, the roast battle, this or that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's what I see him on stage. Those help as a club owner, but to me, it's the Montreal Comedy Festival. It's the South by Southwest. It's the art that he brings to the stage. And that's what we want to bring through the comedy club. That's what we want to bring to Kansas City. You know, Kansas City hasn't seen him headline, but I have, and I've seen him work, and it's not like he's a new comic.
Right.
It's just he's from here, and we have a crop of people like this. Like Jeremiah, just artists on stage who will bring that passion, and, you know, it's important to us. I talked to a lot of club owners and comics about new clubs opening up. The new clubs that were successful, what they were doing differently versus new clubs that were failing.
Mm-hmm.
Verbatim, it was the clubs who tried to earn the trust And prove themselves as funny instead of trying to get rich out of the gate. Those are the ones that are successful.
Absolutely. And integrity over anything.
And that's something I carry because I have that passion for comedy. You know, it's really important to me to have that on stage. So to bring Jeremiah in. And so, you know, we got to the point where like, man, our doors aren't going to be open. And, you know, we already had a lot of tickets sold, you know, and again, he's from here and we wanted to bring him in. And he's like, let's, you know, we're like, we can find another venue. And Jeremiah was is into it as we were, man. You know, we wanted to do the show. We're excited to have it. We're grateful that that the Buffalo Room opened their doors. They cleared their schedule for us, man.
That's awesome.
I mean, we could not be more grateful, you know. So
that I can tell, besides the credentials and besides the fact that you've been living out in L.A. for 10 years, is already just such a phenomenon. I always like having real conversations with comedians.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't come in just like doing your little.
Let's get it.
No. Like, let's have a
Let's do some bits right now.
Comedy comes from the heart and the soul, and sometimes you just don't want to, you know, you want to just have a real conversation, I feel like. So
yeah, well, I'm super appreciative to be here, and this is a big deal for me. It's going to be a very special weekend because I've literally worked my way up from hosting and doing guest spots and featuring back here, like every few years to this coming back and headlining my first weekend. So this is special, and I'm bringing a buddy with me to feature. So it's one of those things where going off of what Dustin said, no two shows that you see of mine are going to be the exact same. I have an improv and stand-up background, and I lean on both of those whenever you come see me. So if you come see two shows this weekend, you're going to see two completely different shows.
Do you have any topics besides your family that you're definitely going to hit on? Do you have any Kansas City jokes? No, I don't want to hear them now because that's what they pay for. But do you bring anything from the city out to your sets?
I talk about being from Kansas in the Midwest a little bit here and there, but I don't do like any typical like Dorothy jokes or anything like that.
Okay.
Like, because I've heard them all, and I'm so like I groan inside every time I hear them living out in L.A., like any kind of Kansas stuff. So I'm not going to do that to Kansas, baby. I'm from here. I'm not going to do that to y'all. Come on.
Jeremiah is one of the most unique people, characters, and personalities you will ever see walk on a comedy stage. He really is. It's just, it's something. It's a fresh taste that you just haven't seen before. The closest I could have, just as animated as you are and everything, it's just like a modern day funnier version, a smarter version of what a Jim Carrey would be back in the day. Just because he's
How does that feel to hear, Jeremiah Watkins?
That's pretty high praise. Tickets still available this weekend at
because
the Buffalo
Room. It's the physical, but mixed with a very smart addition to it. I mean, right? I mean, am I off on this?
When people are nice, like Dustin, I've heard that about myself. I get compared to a modern Jim Carrey or like a Steve Martin. They're big influences on me. Like, those are my guys. Like, as far as stand-up comedy go, Chris Farley on the improv side, you know, those are my guys.
Those are your guys.
Big physical presences on stage and, you know, watching something unique.
And since you've worked in radio, I know that you're not going to tell me all the bad stuff, because if you start using those words, I got to hit the dump button. We can only do it so many times.
I'm aware.
Jeremiah, where can people find some videos or anything to check you out before they come to the show on Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, on social media, I'm at Jeremiah Stand Up. Just super easy, Jeremiah Stand Up. And I've got a ton of Instagram videos and Twitter.
Didn't you just record a music video with Pauly Shore?
I did. Yeah. Reagan and Watkins, we just recorded a music video called Stepdad with Pauly Shore. Maybe we can play the song later. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. And that's featuring our buddy Pauly Shore. And Pauly plays my stepdad in that music video. So it's a fun, good time.
All right, cool.
Wait, what would you do if you woke up and you went over to your mom's house and Pauly Shore was your stepdad? what would your reaction be? She's at a loss for words, folks.
I am. Are we in the army now?
That's why you got to see this music video. Yes. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Jeremiah Watkins and Dustin Kaufman, owner of the Kansas City Comedy Club. I'm very excited for you to come in more, Dustin, and bring some more talent
thank
in here.
Thank you, Jordan.
JSAF. Jordan Silver is Wait, it stands for Jordan Silver and Friends?
Tomorrow morning, the KC Pet Project coming in. They've got a huge announcement that is going to bring us cat people even more together. I think that's all that I can say. 8:30 tomorrow morning. Huge announcement from the KC Pet Project. Hello, Jeremy. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm tired. How are you?
I'm not as tired as you must be. tell me everything. How did last night go after you were done in your room?
I actually left the room, believe it or not.
Really? Oh, I hear the cracking.
After I took a break. Oh, yeah, a little bit. I took a little nap, and then I went and saw our very own The Get Up Kids last night.
That's right. I saw videos on your Instagram. That's right.
It was very weird seeing our friends that we've known for years playing a show in Texas. It was very strange,
really? But
it was awesome. The place was packed. People were singing. It was great.
How did you like going out into the South by Southwest world? Since everybody's coming to you.
Well, I mean, I've been coming to this festival for 12 plus years now. This is my 12th, I think this is my 12th year at South by Southwest. So I've done the whole thing. I've done the outside world. The inside world is nice too, but it is nice to get out of the room every once in a while.
Okay, because I'm such like a homebody when it comes to things that I would be like, oh my God, every year that I get older, I'll make it less like that. So you saw the Get Up Kids last night. Did you do anything else?
No.
You were probably the only responsible person in all of Austin, Texas, and went home. And
yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, so right outside my hotel room is this place called Cheer Up Charlie's. So I heard so many bands last night. The Beths, I heard the Beths last night. Yes. They played across the street because it sounds like this venue is inside my hotel room. Oh. So really, I don't have to leave even when everything is done because I can still watch shows outside. It's amazing.
Wow. How's Lost Cause doing?
He's good. He got some sleep. He was a little sleep deprived yesterday, so he was just kind of laying low and taking it all in. But I'm going to make him jump in full force. Did you hear his interview with Kayflay yesterday?
I didn't. I heard about it, though.
He totally fangirled, and it was the cutest thing. I thought he was going to cry.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Can we hear that somewhere?
The video is up on our website, I believe, 965thebuzz.com. If not, it's on the Buzz YouTube page.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So who are you going to have him? Are you going to have him talk to anybody on your schedule today?
I mean, whoever he wants to. Today we've got, we're going to start it off here a little bit after 10 o'clock with Jocelyn and Chris Arndt. I have no idea who these people are, but it should be fun to make new friends. Mm-hmm. Lily stopping by, Simmel, Dylan Cartledge. I did see him last night. You guys are going to fall in love with Dylan Cartledge. Super excited about that one. Sir Sly coming by today, Broncho, and then, of course, our boys Hembry will be here as well.
Wow. Did anybody jump on the bed with the beer yesterday?
I don't remember.
What?
Maybe Matt Pryor did a little bit from the Get Up Kids. It was just a lot of sleep-deprived people yesterday because a lot of people drove through the night.
Oh, damn.
Last night to get here for the start of the music portion. So today may be a little bit different since everyone's gotten a little bit of sleep and had a little bit of party in them so far.
Okay, I remember listening to the first time you talked on the radio for your show yesterday, and you said something about your brain having a little bit of a fart, and you were having a beer already. Did you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do that?
I haven't cracked one open yet, but we're getting close.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool. anything else going on? Is there something that you're going to go to after all the interviews today?
What is happening today? I don't even know what's going on today.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening. I think Hembry's playing tonight, which is good, so I'll probably get out of the hotel to go see another Kansas City band, which is fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we get invited to today when all these friends stop by.
Oh, wow. Wow. Is there anybody coming up that you're just super excited to meet, maybe for the first time?
Who on here have we not met already? Broncho, I'm kind of excited to meet. And Dylan Cartledge, I'm really excited to sit down with him.
Well,
because he seems very interesting.
You've mentioned a couple times that we're going to fall in love with him. What does he sound like?
Think The Cure, but updated with a little bit more funk.
Dylan Cartlidge.
Dylan Cartlidge.
Wow. All right.
He's adorable. You're going to love him. All so right. I'm going to go eat my Evolve breakfast. Thank you, Evolve, for sending us with food. I've got my CS Bev Miller Coors in the cooler. We are good to go, ready for day two.
And what are you putting up on the internet? I see that the hashtag is live from Jeremy's room.
We're trying to keep up with all the social medias. Obviously, yesterday with the social media blackout.
Yeah. Come on.
It was a little difficult, but yep. There's some stuff up on Instagram, definitely. We'll try to stay up on that today. But really, 965thebuzz.com is going to be your best bet. Every video, everyone that comes in, we take a video. We're putting it up there as fast as we can. The Wi-Fi signal here, a little spotty just because there are a billion people. So we're trying to get it updated as much as we can. But we do have this cool thing, and I'm going to share these pictures today now that everything is up. We have this awesome Coors Light light-up sign that we've been having all of the bands doodle on and then taking pictures of it. So we'll get those pictures up for you here in just a little bit as well.
What are we going to do with the sign?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Are we going to give it out, or are we going to keep it here?
We'll probably keep it because what we're doing is we're letting everyone have the entire sign, taking a picture of it, and then erasing it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow. Glad I'm not there because, you know, I don't know the difference between a permanent marker and a felt one.
That is true. That is right. You've ruined many a whiteboard.
I know. It's gone now. All right. So 10 o'clock is going to be the first time that you talk to somebody this morning after you have your breakfast. Jocelyn and Chris aren't.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. All right. Cool. All right. Have a good one. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
It's The Buzz.
Keys, check. Phone, check. Wallet, check. Jordan Silver and friends, check.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.